E vi lasciamo con A Voice from the Dark, con Peppinel, Steve McCartney, l'uomo che sussurrava a coloro che stavano lì ad annusare. È arrivato pure Dario, l'unico di Radio Banda Larga che è degno di rispetto. Sorriso
Great.
maniacale. C'è sta tutta la troupe. Io sono solo l'inizio di una domenica fatta di pantaloni macchiati, di mutande col verso. But
I have no idea what you're saying right now.
it's Steve. Steve is from, it's an Italian from New York. He knows Italian, but he wanted to do, he pretend to don't.
No, I don't. My talent is garbage, basically. So, yeah. But I think there's a possibility that it could get better over here. Who
Yeah,
knows?
of course, of course. I can teach you.
Voice from the Dark is English one, so maybe there needs to be some Italian. I don't know. We'll see. Could be interesting.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. And that was Manuelo from Sgambetto.
Sgambruto.
Scambr. That one
Sgam
I understood. You see,
Lordo.
that makes sense to me. Scambrutto. Everybody knows Brutto is ugly, right?
Bella, raga.
Voices from the Dark here. I don't know if you just caught the end of the Scambetto, the amazing Scambetto show. Still don't really know what that means. Something to do with the word betto, perhaps. Should probably get an Italian over here. There's dozens of them here that could explain it to me, I guess. But in any case, this is Voices from the Dark, and I got a musical guest, or a guest who is a musician, I should say. This is the 25th episode. Last week, last Sunday, on RBL Berlin, I had the 24th episode, and that was amazing because I had the great and agile Giacomo and Julia on the show as my sort of improvised guests. That was the first time that I had a two or three-way, no, a two-way interview. And yeah, could we get that no, n the music out? Yeah, no music here. Just because, yeah, I didn't even realize it was playing. But in any case, I got another guest for the artist series this week. I think it's going to be a good one. This guy is, I've already spoken to him a little bit outside of Labetto Lab, and he's got a lot of good things to say. It's November 4th. I want to give a shout out to my best friend of all time, Ira. Happy birthday, Ira. Hope you're listening to this, and if you're not, you will one day. And if you don't, it doesn't really matter because I'll see you again. I'll tell you happy birthday then. I think my headset just went out, but yeah. In any case, I got Dean here, and I
okay,
guess
check, check, check
in pretty much in the normal Voices from the Dark way, I'm going to let my guest introduce himself.
All right,
Dean, that's you. You're my guest.
Hello, I just want to make a quick clap for the video.
All right.
Okay. Now we're here.
All
right. Yeah. Hello.
I told you this was going to be a good one. We get a clap right at the beginning.
Yeah. All right. Hello, everyone. Are we on air right now?
Yeah, okay. We should be. We're just having some technical difficulties. It's totally cool because that's what Voices from the Dark is all about, technical difficulties. And that's what we're here to talk about, basically.
Okay. Yeah. We're chilling up. But should I like continue doing my things?
Smoke a cigarette. Do whatever you want.
Right.
But
should I
just
introduce
who
myself?
Are you? Yeah,
okay.
Introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dimitar. I go with the artist name Dean is Home. I'm 25 years old, musician from Bulgaria, living and making music mostly in Berlin, Germany, right now. Yeah.
Okay. So, already.
Yeah. So should we continue? Should we make
so
it
yeah,
longer?
No. No, I think. I think I'm just slightly distracted from the. I don't know. I just am listen. I'm a little. I feel a little weird about the headphones, the headset. But I guess it's coming in now. It's a little.
Check,
it was
check,
a little
check.
Shaky.
Is it working?
it's just sort of distracting. Maybe I should just just take them off.
However, yeah, like, okay.
Yeah, maybe if you take them off too. Okay. I don't think, because it doesn't make sense if it's not coming through. In any case, this is the glory of a live show.
Yes, of course. Right. I like it. I mean, this is what I'm doing also.
I think
we met on.
Yeah.
We I met with my friend Sven. Seven?
Seven?
Seven? Seven? Sven? How you call it?
Oh, my name. Yeah. Steve.
Steve. Oh, shit. Yeah. I wrote it wrong
Sven.
In my phone.
Well, I mean.
I don't know. It's actually Steve is good.
Probably Steve is related to Sven. Does anybody know?
Sven? I don't know.
Is there any?
Okay, Steve.
Any
sorry. Cut. I could have dropped the video.
In the house? Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I want to say I met with Steven. With Steve, I was busking on the streets in Berlin, in one of the underground busking places. So
it was actually above ground. This when we met, it was
where
above
we met?
Ground.
Do you meet in Warschaustrasse or where?
No, it was Potsdamplatz. Yeah.
Okay,
right
okay, but
right outside the train
station. Yes, but there's like this underground. I see it more as underground, but you're right, it's above the ground. So right now I'm mostly busking. I'm pretty much busking a lot. In Berlin, so I'm technical difficulties are fine.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've been doing this. I mean, we spoke about podcasting earlier. It's always weird for me when I do these episodes, when I do these interviews, where and it's almost always the same. If I speak to my guest before we start recording, I'm always like, "What the hell should we talk about?" Because we've already talked about it.
Yeah.
But I think that we can still get some of those good things that you were talking about earlier, because you actually, I think you have a really good mindset. And this episode, this show, the artist series, is all about like that stuff we talked about before. So,
all right,
if you can remember any of that shit.
Should I?
Let's talk about.
What I can say is like I'm thinking who is watching this, who is listening to this right now. Probably there's gonna be some people who are interested. All right, I'm gonna start with this thing. I'm full-time street musician right now at the moment, and this is kind of in the gray area. I mean, not a lot of people, like, when you say to someone that you're a street musician, they expect that you're living under the bridge and you're, you know, you're eating from the trash and stuff like this, and it's not true 100% all the time. And
you can eat trash under the bridge anytime you want, even if you're not a busker. Right?
Of course. I can say why I choose to do it and what it is like. Maybe this is gonna be interesting for you. I want to say that who I am. I'm playing guitar. I'm writing songs. And right now, the streets of Berlin are my one of my main stages to do it. And
but you travel to do.
Yeah, I moved to Berlin a year ago. Mm. I'm 25 years old at the moment. I studied music, and I traveled a lot during my university, my studies, and I tried to live in different countries. I lived in America and upstate New York. I lived in northwest parts of Germany. I lived in Norway.
You said, right?
Yeah. I lived in Norway for a little bit. I lived on a ship. And I was thinking it's time for me to move to one place that I'm gonna put more effort into developing my connections and to start.
So what drew you to Berlin? I know it's a cheap question, but
yeah, it's
I'm
it's
all about cheap questions.
No, it's cool. It's everyone asks that. Okay, basically last year I just finished university, recording and drums was my majors, and
drums.
Yeah.
All right.
And I get this job playing on a cruise ship, drums from the. It was like one of those big, almost like Titanic, like 17 floors, going from Oslo, Norway to Kiel, Germany, and I was playing there in a cover band every night for 5 hours, playing cover songs, and in this moment I realized that it's time for me to push it and go all in into a new country, new place that I want to be, and to try by myself to see how can I get it, how can I do it. And I came back after this 5 weeks, came back to my parents' house for like 2 weeks there, and I sit with pen and paper and I start thinking, okay, where should I go? And I wrote all this like big capitals, you know, New York City, Berlin, London, Tokyo, you know, Sydney, Melbourne. You know, I start writing all this. I made lists, and I made like a little paragraph checking all these places. How much is going to be like to live? How much is going to be your rent? How much is going to be your minimum wage? How much? How is the music scene? How it's look like? What are the bands like? How it looks on Instagram? How it looks on YouTube? And I try to imagine myself going there, and Berlin keep popping up as a place that. Okay, why Berlin? Because my goals, like...
I think it's interesting, that whole process.
Okay, yeah, I mean, think
you,
so.
You can say more about Berlin.
Yeah, yeah, I say.
That's, like, very cool that you're so methodical, or you were. And To leave Bulgaria, right? To leave... where are you from in Bulgaria?
Bulgaria. I come from Vratsa, which is a small city near Sofia, near the capital. Okay. I come from a really small little mountain place.
Okay.
So that's I was always attracted to big places, big cities. And my dream, my goals for my next years is I wanted to get a home base in a place that I can live easily and leave that place. And Berlin is kind of like, it's a center of so many places. You can fly cheaply and easily to a lot of countries and places that you can make music successfully. It's kind of in the middle. It's this was my idea for Berlin. So Berlin kept popping as a place that I can establish my home, to have my home base, and to make stable connections in the city, and to start going away from the city, but to be able to come back. Like basically, my dream, my goal for this was to have 200 or 150 shows a year, and to be able to fly and go different places and come back. And this to be my, like, my dream was to have a tiny, small, little, cheap apartment in Berlin.
When did that start? When did the clock start ticking on that?
Mainly when I was in Norway on the ship, and when I came back, I said, okay, it's time to go and do it. And what I did when I was back in Bulgaria, I imagine my life 10 years from now, 10 years from the future, from when I was 24 at the moment in Bulgaria. I was like, okay, where I want to be in 10 years, in 5, in 3 years, and if I want to be there in 5 years, where I need to, what changes I need to do today. And I made a little plan, and I decided next year of my life, I'm going to invest into doing only 4 things. First thing is going to be go to big European capital, big world capital, and to create my home there, to create a home base. Second thing is to play 200 shows a year.
200?
Yeah.
Up from 150?
Yeah. I'll tell you later why.
Wow.
Okay, I wanted to make 200 shows a year. My third goal for this year was to make 500 euro from a show.
From one show?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Which means to make my shows as good as get this, like a little thing. And the fourth goal is connected to one of my biggest hobbies that is outside of music. That's a bit too expensive to do right now, which is paragliding. Oh. It's flying.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a big parachute that you connect to your body, and you go from a mountain, and you start flying.
Oh, wow.
And I have a license for that. I did it in Bulgaria. And
is it because you're from a mountain town?
No, because I was all my life afraid of heights. And when I started traveling when I was 22 years old, I started with a trip to America, and basically my life changed completely there. What I'm not going to get into that much details if it's not necessary, but basically I worked one thing, I get kicked out, homeless.
You can tell the story. There's another story I just remembered about the island. But
okay, I'll say it later. Yes. What I wanted to say is that when I was in America, it was my first time being far away from my home, being outside of my comfort zone completely, because I didn't speak English very well. I didn't know anyone in America. I went by myself. And I overcome a lot of things there. And basically, I get a lot of courage from this experience. And when I came back to Bulgaria, I decided I can do everything. And, you know, I applied for a scholarship in Germany. I get accepted. Then I was like, fuck this. Can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything.
Okay, I said, let's fuck this. I'm going to be, if I survived in America, I was homeless. I was on the streets in America. I was living in a homeless shelter for a little bit. I didn't have any money. For one moment, I was. And I overcome a lot of different things. And I was like, if I did this, then I'm going to do everything else. And, you know, I start applying for different things. I get scholarship for studying in Germany for a semester, drums. Then I was like, fuck. What's the next thing? I'm afraid of heights. And I was like, okay, then I want to be a pilot. And I went to my parents, okay, I want to get a license for flying. And I was like, you're insane, you're joking. And I was like, okay. And I found my teacher, I found everything. And I was like, let's do it. And they was like, okay, we're going to help you with the money. Because you get scholarship for Germany, basically. And yeah. I did it. And
wow.
Anyway, so it's a bit off topic of music, but it's not off topic for me because this is the moment of my life that, you know, a lot of people say they have this moment that your life changed. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the moment that my life changed completely. And this was in America. And after that, I believed in myself and I...
Go back then to that. If it changed your life, then what exactly happened?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. Okay, I come from Bulgaria and for
you
the people...
You said you were homeless, but like...
Yeah,
what
but...
What led to that?
It's
you
not
didn't go there and were like, I'm going to be homeless.
Yeah. Well, okay, it's more of a... I'll start from Bulgaria. Like in Bulgaria, it's a country we had socialism for a long time. I didn't see it because I was born after it changed. But you have a lot of post-socialistic things in the mindset of the people, in the opportunities that you have, and but we all my generation, I'm 25, like 93 generation, we all grew up with American like Western movies and stuff, and we were looking at those things that were romantic and beautiful, but we didn't see them in our everyday life. Like all these bands that you listen to from America, we didn't have those bands. All these movies, all these series, we don't have those things. And it was like idea. And then I went there and I saw that, oh, this is reality, everyday reality for so many people. And I saw people, you know, in Bulgaria, they teach you that music is not going to work. All this art stuff are not going to happen. You're going to be poor and homeless. Like I was... I started playing music when I was 13 with my first band, but I was preparing for medical school.
Before you go on with that, yeah. So you started your band, the first band in 13.
Yeah.
But you know that thing that you just said about people
pushing you back,
pushing down.
Yeah.
Really, it's pushing people down. Like,
oh yeah.
In terms of
completely.
Arts, it's something that I feel has been in every single interview that I've had.
Yeah. Of course,
everybody agrees. That's like a reality for most.
Oh yeah, yeah, and let me tell you something about that. It's I think it's healthy, and I'll tell you why.
To have it be pushed down.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I'll tell you why. Like when I was preparing for medical school, and for 3 years in high school, I had private lessons, and my parents put a lot of money into this idea, and when I told my parents no. I'm not going to do this. I'm going
private
to music
lessons for
medical and to okay. get into the best university.
In addition to the regular school.
Yeah, right. Because to get in the best place for medical in Bulgaria, you need to get this private lessons to get this extra stuff. I come from a normal, absolutely normal family in Bulgaria. Mm. And when I told my parents in the last year of high school, I completely shifted my idea. And I was like, no, I'm going to do music. I'm going to music school. I'm going to give it a shot. And my father stopped talking to me for 2 years.
What?
And you know, it was insane.
That is insane.
It was like my whole like thing with my family was so difficult. Like we even talk with my father with my mother with like I didn't talk to my father and with my mother I was writing these notes on piece of paper and putting on the table. I didn't want to speak to my parents at all because I didn't get any support. They were looking at me like I'm going to the darkness, mm-hmm. to a real darkness, like I'm gonna die. Like, and Jesus. I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And I'll tell you why it's healthy, actually. Mm. Because, I mean, it's not nice, but it made me push to be able to push back. Because, you know, when someone is pushing you down, when someone is putting your head under the water, you need to push really hard to get your head above the water. And when you get this and you develop skills and you develop this this will, a strong will, it's gonna keep you healthy and safe later. Because what I mean by that is that when you're doing music professionally or any kind of creative stuff that are unconventional, you're going to get pushed down from so many places. So many people are going to push you down. And if you're not strong enough and confident enough to push back, you're going to get discouraged and like be able to like to stand my grounds with my family, my father and everything, build up this like... What I mean by that is like when you put someone who had my experience next to someone who get, you know, their parents paid for everything in the music and they push them, like those two people, one who had to push to get there, and the one who get it on the table, the one of them had a lot more will. Like, for example, and when it gets hard, because it's going to get hard, mm-hmm. the one who wants it more is going to win.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And you see...
I mean, well, I wouldn't say that they're going to win.
I mean, it's...
But I would
yeah.
say that they are...
He's going to keep doing
they're
it.
They're the one who did the most
yeah.
to get there. I think that...
Which, basically, for me, it means to win. But, I mean, for me, winning it doesn't mean I win, you lose. It's not a game between different people. It's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, winning
yeah.
means
it's
to...
personal success.
Yeah, to go and do it. Like, when you don't want to do it, when it's difficult, when it's cold outside, to go and play.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
not do it.
The rich kid who's got everything paid for him is not going to do that.
I mean, it's... I wouldn't. I wouldn't say the rich kid. I would say the kid who doesn't want it that much.
Yeah.
You know, it's
but,
like...
But then how does he get so far? Like, if I totally agree with what you're saying, and I see what... The main idea is that without comparing it to the person who it's easier for, without
yeah.
comparing it to them, I see it. I see what you're saying, which is basically if you learn how to deal with the struggle...
Yeah.
From a younger age or even from an older age, if you learn how to deal with the struggle, then
can manage.
You'll be able to do it.
And
yeah.
like if you look a lot
it's
of
like
the
practice makes perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look at a lot of the successful people that did achieved amazing things in our time, a lot of them started from bottom or from under the bottom. And you know why? It has a reason. And also I wanted to connect it to what we talked, not to get too different into my own stories, but...
Well, we're here to talk about your
stories. Yeah, but I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about to the people. I want the people who are listening to relate, to get something from
okay.
this conversation.
I think that was a, you know, that was a good story.
Yes, I think
mean,
so. I think
it's
too.
It's not going to be as good as the island story.
Oh, I'll say it. I just want to say...
I mean, and you yeah. know, it sucks that your father was.
Oh, it's
not
fine.
For
it's fine.
2 years, but
yeah, but we're good now. Yeah. It's good now.
Right,
but
cool.
like, my point is like, when I went to America, I saw so much opportunities and people making albums on their iPhones or like iPads and getting label deals, and like,
really?
And I like my friend who was busking with me on the street. He was playing the mandolin. He recorded his album on his iPad and he get a label, and I was like, fuck this! I don't need a studio. I don't need I don't need a whole team behind my back. I just need to make it. And I went home back to Bulgaria and I make my first album, solo album, all by myself, recording all the instruments. It took me 1 year. And then I went to Germany to study there. And I did my second
what
album.
What was the name of the first album?
It's called The Pinhole Camera.
The
Pinhole. It's like a little camera
yeah.
you make yourself.
Yeah.
And
with a pin.
Yeah.
In a box.
Yeah, exactly. I used to make those cameras with a girl that we were like a creative team together, and you know, she inspired me to do this. So anyway, and the funny thing is that my first album took me 1 year. The second album, wait, I'm gonna just want to press the camera again.
Yeah,
another clap.
We're doing video,
and audio all together.
Clap it up.
Yeah.
Seems like Bulgarians like to clap. Actually, the funny thing is that on and now I'm looking at the camera.
Yeah. What's up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Give the wrong symbol.
It's okay. It's a good symbol.
the fuck you symbol. That's the one I gave her. No. Oh, hey. Sorry.
That's fine.
No. Yeah, he was clapping in that
yeah.
episode that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Of the mistaken ideas.
Okay.
Basically, yeah.
yeah so
also to do with recording. Like,
yeah.
clap so that you know where to cut.
But yes, yes. So yeah. what I wanted to say is that my second album that I recorded in Germany took me 1 month.
Okay.
Like, the first one took me 1 year. The second one took me 1 month. And I was like, I went there and I was like, okay, can I do it before Christmas? And it's going to be a Christmas album. And I make my second album. It's called...
Did you have a Christmas song on there?
All of songs are Christmas songs, in my opinion. Like, I have... I mean,
All the songs?
No, they're not Christmas, but they have tambourines and, like, they have this little Christmassy feel. But, like, it's like... it's called That Cold Winter in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And I want to continue about these things because... After this, you know, basically I work with different bands. I work with bands from Germany, and this was my first time really living only by music. This band asked me to come and record drums for them, and I basically stayed for 6 months traveling with them in Germany. And like, we had a van, it was a cover band. But we traveled around, and this was my first time getting into seeing how you can survive only on your music, like playing on the street, not because you don't have money to buy bread, but because this is the best way people can see you, because you go, you play on the street, and you make a good show with like good songs, with good equipment, and you get deals. And people come and be like, come and play on my birthday party for, you know, for 300 euro, whatever.
Damn.
Or more, you know. And this is how you do it. Like you go and play four times a week for 1 hour, and that's it. That's how you make your rent money and food money, and you get your deals for bars and birthday things.
So this is in Berlin?
No, this was in Essen. In Essen, in NRV in general. We were traveling all around every city in NRV. And like a little bit of Holland.
What is the name?
NRV is called the area of Germany with the cities like Essen, Cologne, Düsseldorf, Dortmund.
And they call it NRV.
It's North Rhine-Westphalia.
Ah, okay.
North Rhine, because the Rhine is the river. So anyway, so joining this band showed me that I can do it. And later on, you know, I did other projects. I worked on a ship, as I said, and I decided to come to Berlin. I come to Berlin. Fired up by all this experience, being able to survive by myself in new countries, working different things, doing different things. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'm coming to Berlin. I don't know anyone. I don't speak the language of the country, but I'm going to do it.
And did you tell us the name of the second album?
The second album is called That Cold Winter in Germany.
Right. And so that was 1 month. And then you did another one.
I had like eight.
You had eight.
Yeah, eight albums and one audiobook.
Where does the I'm going to call it the Island album.
Okay, the Island album. I did it this year.
Which number is that? Oh, that's.
I think it's the last one, the number eight. So yeah, basically, I was in Berlin. I was I start playing everywhere that there is stage in the city, every open mic, everything's to make people see me, and I played with everyone for free to be able to get my face. I survived only on my money that I saved up from the last job that I had last year, because you know when you learn how to live with no money, you save up quickly.
All right, I'll probably ask you about your past jobs and
yeah, of course, maybe in the future. But yeah, the thing that you said about Ireland, I was here in Berlin. I came. I didn't know anyone. I started from zero. I lived in a home. I lived in a hostel for 3 weeks. And I got a shitty delivery job for 3 weeks because it was too cold to busk on the street. It was I didn't know anything.
Can we mention the name of the place? No, probably not.
It doesn't matter. It's some kind of hostel.
And no, I mean the shitty company.
The job. It was one of those delivery jobs with a bicycle.
They all seem to be annoying.
It's the same. And I start recording. I get my first room after 3 weeks of hostel life. It was a tiny little room, 8 square meters, super small. And I decided it's going to be a music studio. So every time, like, I lived on a mattress, I put the mattress down when I want to sleep. When I don't sleep, I put the mattress up and becomes a music studio with guitars.
This was in the hostel?
No, this was in my first apartment, first room. After I
first room,
yeah,
like in a vague.
Yes,
in a shared
after I was living in a hostel, I get my first room. That was 8 square meters, really tiny, small place. And I decided it's going to be a music studio. And when I was not sleeping, I took the mattress up and I started recording there. And I decided I want to start making one album a month. It was a little project I decided to make in March. Jeez. In March was my birthday. I turned 25. My first album of the series was called 25, of course. And contained the new material I wrote. And I started making albums ever since. I made another album in April called, I forgot how it's called. Doesn't matter. The next one was, it was called Heartbeats.
That's what happens when you make too many albums.
Yes.
You forget the names.
Yeah, the second one was only acoustic album with banjos and acoustic guitars and stuff like this. The next was in May. It's called Presmai, which means in May. And then I started doing other different albums. And then, during that period, I also decided it's warm enough, I'm going to go on the street, and I start busking. And when I started busking, my life completely changed, but I'm going to talk about this later. So I was busking, I was recording albums. One night, it was really cold, and I went to play this open mic, and I met this girl, Cecily Beck, a musician from Denmark. She liked my performance a lot, and she asked me to work with her. And I was like, all right, what are you gonna do? You know, she told me, she mentioned she has a project in Norway, and later I figured out she's gonna go to a music studio which is in an island really above the polar circle, like it's in the Lofoten Islands. So it's, you can imagine this place of the earth that in the summer.
What's the name of the islands there?
Lofoten. It's Lofoten. Called the geography region of the small islands in this. Place, and all these Lofoten Islands, they're above the polar circle.
Wow.
Which means in the summer there is no night.
Yeah, it's the land of the midnight sun.
Exactly, it's sunny all the time. And basically we went to this place which is small little island with only lighthouse, music studio and a place to sleep. It was only, we were four people there. So basically she got an offer to go there to this music studio to record, and she asked me to come with her, and we were me, her and two locals who were cooking for us. And around us, it was endless water and whales.
Whales?
Yeah, wow. I made a song about the whales. So basically, I was helping her, and I decided, fuck it, I'm here on the island for 2 weeks. I have a music studio on my disposal. Let me make another album for 2 weeks. And I made the whole fucking album for like less than 2 weeks, because we were like 10 days there. I made the whole album for like a week. Like record, I was basically making a song a day. I write a song, I record. I write a song, I record. It was like, no way, no time for you to like to keep edit. It stay, yeah. Like you just need to make it, like,
okay.
It means first three takes of everything you want to make a piano, you write the, you develop the melody and you just record it, you make the bass, you just record, you decide a lyrics, you just sing them from like, and you put the second take on the tape, and that's it. And I started using this. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that perfection is the biggest enemy of progress in any creative space, because we are, and I'm really guilty of that also, we were really putting too much time and too much stress into getting it perfect, and no one cares about perfect.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about this outside. I'm really happy that you remembered that part of the... I really thought that was amazing. Yeah, what we were talking about before. And actually, I just remembered the last show here at Labetto Lab. We spoke about what it takes to be like great, so called great in quotes, you know.
Okay.
My guest at the time, Julia, she said, you know, you have to dedicate like 15, 20 years, you know, every day, day in, day out, doing something to be kind of to become great or whatever. I mean, there's accidental greatness, where it happens by accident, but most of us are just going to do what we love, and we should. And I think this is also, like, if we're worried about perfection, I mean, this is a recurring theme, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I want to say also another thing for perfection. Okay, there's one thing that is true to every piece of art that all of us ever saw, heard, or saw, every painting, every song that you ever heard in your life. There's one truth for all of those things, and that truth is that it could have been worked on more.
Yeah,
they could have worked a little bit more. They could have worked a little bit more on this.
That's true.
On this painting, or on this movie, on this song, they could have worked a little bit more. But like, and there's also another truth.
I really like that.
Yeah, and there's also another truth to every piece of art, that is, it went through a process of being finished. So the person decided, I'm gonna finish it.
Yeah.
Other than that,
decision.
Yeah, it's a decision that you make before. Like, if you don't decide from the beginning you're gonna finish this song or you're gonna finish this podcast, you're never gonna do it. It's gonna keep improving. But you know, you can always make it better. But there's no perfect. There's only finished.
I like that. There's no perfect. There's only finished.
Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely something that's like a Voices from the Dark sort of thing. That's what I'm going for here.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So I'm trying to I start getting this way of thinking because I start watching a lot of vloggers on the internet, on YouTube, and my focus shifted from like watching movies to watching people like a kid with a camera from, you know, fucking South America or North America or whatever, making movies in his bedroom with like a shitty, cheap €200 camera from Walmart. And like, oh wow, that's it. And I was like, if I manage to put this into my workflow, I'm gonna have a lot more. I'm gonna get better quicker, because like if you take two people, one of them makes one movie for 1 year and the other one makes 300 movies this year, in the end of the year one of them is gonna have a lot more experience. And
yeah,
and
I've heard this before. I've heard this actually, yeah, on some, actually on YouTube, I think it was. Yeah. It was like yeah, basically what you said. I've heard this before.
So
it's really good. I really like that. It's basically an argument to be prolific. And in one of my other episodes of this artist series, Lou DeChico, he was like, I'm pretty sure it was Lou DeChico, he was like talking about being promiscuous. You know, he's like,
what does this mean?
But that, well, it means a lot of things. Normally, it means that you're having sex with a lot of different partners, but when you use it as a metaphor, it means that you are like going to a lot of places. You're using it metaphorically, so he means that he plays promiscuously. He goes and plays wherever he can, like basically like what you're describing.
Yeah.
And it's like be prolific, be promiscuous, do everything, try everything, you know. Can we smoke in here?
Can I smoke? Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe I'll do it later.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
We should probably move this whole thing, the whole table, into the smoking room.
Sorry. Anyway.
Should we say something to the people in the video there? This is weird. I actually really want to do video, but, you know.
Are we going to start doing
light.
It?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's fine. It's voice from the dark. And
yeah, that's true.
It's not important. The light is not important. It's what we were talking about in this conversation, because I felt this like vibe going in, like this tension building up while we're talking, which is so good. I love it.
I always have a lot of tension in my
A lot of energy, man, because we're clashing, because I really love what I'm doing. And I'm really focused on it, and you're really focused on what you're doing, and in the conversation, it just comes in, comes out, whatever. Yeah. So
it's like nothing can stop you from doing the thing, whatever
so
it is.
Yeah, and you know, let's see what else. If I can talk a little bit about what it means to busk, or what it means to like. I said, like, for me, recording and like making albums and stuff like that, I did it because I want to get better, and I wanted to overcome my fear of perfection.
Mm.
And you know, I made an audiobook about all my life in America, just one day.
You made an audiobook.
Yeah, I just sit. I was really one of my like my best friends killed himself in America.
Oh man!
And you know, he saved my life a few times when I was there, when I was in America. You know, and I was thinking about this one day. And when I was here in Germany, I was like, fuck, I really miss this. And I have a lot of stuff on my mind and I want to put it into something. And I just went home, I press record on my microphone, on my, you know, laptop. And I spent like 2 minutes scheduling on a piece of paper like you, just a few different chapters, like chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. And I just did it up. Like, it took me 1 hour, I did it, I cut it for another hour, and I just put it on Spotify. That's it.
Wow.
And some people bought it. Some people,
really?
And I also made like make it on CD. It's called I forgot how it's called. Going to America. It's called Going to America.
Going to America.
Yeah.
Not Coming to America.
No.
You don't want to compete with the classic film Coming to America.
Oh, I don't know this
film. Eddie Murphy.
Oh,
maybe
I should
watch
it. Maybe I should watch it. Maybe I should compete the two things. But anyway, it's like it's just like you put it out there and that's it. Like, you know, a lot of those songs, a lot of those recordings that we listened to from the 60s, 70s, those people, they didn't have so many takes. They just put it out and that's it. From the 50s, they just go in the room, they just press record and that's it. It comes in, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some very interesting, like, 60s, 70s music that's like, is that a fine? Did they finish that song?
Yeah. and like you hear a lot of mistakes about those things, but it's fine. And it's fine to make mistakes. Just fucking go and make mistakes. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I want to say something now about the music flow and about, because I come from this world of, I studied music, so I had this academic people around me, which I really didn't felt very comfortable in.
Okay.
But I wanted to finish it, so I finished it. And also, the problem with that is that when you study music or filmmaking or stuff like this, like, it looks really similar, but there's a big difference between people who want to be musicians and people who are doing that. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people think it's really cool and romantic and sexy to be a musician, and they want to be the musicians because they want the attention that you get, and yeah. they want people, like, they want the girls to be like, oh, he's a musician, blah blah blah, or stuff like this. But that's it. That's
I think
it.
That there's most musicians would probably say something like that is true, though.
What?
That there is an element of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have attention, but it's also not
specifically like sexual attention.
Yeah, I mean. Of course, but it's like it's not the why I want to show up in the office.
Right, right.
Office, yeah. My office is.
Speaking of the office, I've started to watch this Mad Men show, and it's like basically they're just having sex and drinking all the time in their office. It's the weirdest office I've ever seen. It's like from supposed to be set in the 60s or whatever.
I don't know this place. But I wanted to say that.
it's a TV show.
Yes. But I wanted to say that if you want to make music, it's good to go to study this if you want, but try to just be active. Like, I used to spend a lot of hours into making beautiful videos for Instagram or Facebook, or to make a beautiful photo that show that I am a musician. But it doesn't matter. Like, you need to go and do it. You need to play a lot of shows. You need to meet people. You need to go and play. And that's it. And that's it. Like, right now I see a big difference between people who likes the idea to be musicians or filmmakers, but they have other jobs or their parents are sending them money every month, and people who are actually making money out of it and they're going on the street and they're busking. Like, it's a huge difference. Mm. And
yeah, without a doubt.
And you know, if you want to be a musician, go and play. Go and play music. Try to play in front of live people. Don't sit at home just wishing for it. I used to sit at home and like to play like 3 shows a year, and this year I made over 300 shows this year.
Wow.
Like when I started.
So you passed your goal?
Yeah, I passed. Nice. Like a month ago, 2 months ago.
Very nice.
Like when I decided these goals, I become so passionate about my goals, I started playing. I had nights I played two shows a day or 3 shows a day, like, which means I go to play on open mic. Then I go to play on another open mic in different part of the city. Or I go to busk all day in Mauer Park in this
busking
famous...
Busking all day counts as one show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. For me, busking counts one
but
show.
But even if it's like 6-hour show?
I never do 6 hours. But,
you take a break?
Yeah, of course. I do breaks. But like I count it as one show. Like going and playing on Alexanderplatz.
How long is the normal length of a busking?
Usually... Normal is around 1 hour, and what I mean that by, okay, if you go to a big city like Berlin with a famous place like Alexanderplatz, you're not going to be the only musician who wants to play there.
Right.
And if I would like to play for 4 hours there, but there's going to be a musician from Ukraine, another musician from Berlin, there's going to be another musician from Poland, another musician from Ireland, and they all want to play, and they all have their girlfriends with them waiting for them to finish playing. And like, I cannot keep my spot only for me.
That's a story in its own.
Oh yeah, of course. Wow. And that's why usually it's 1 hour. Like,
okay. So you do that out of respect for the other?
Of course.
Communicate with them?
I don't have other chance. I mean, I meet them. I meet them every day. So I do.
Same guys? In different places.
Of course, there's a lot of people that there's amount of people that they're doing this full time, like me, and they don't work anything else. So, all their income comes from playing on the street, because bars in Berlin don't pay you, and you need to make money from somewhere. And if you want to make money from music, you just go and busk on the street. You play, people give you money, you can sell your CDs, and this is how you get the majority of your payments. Like, usually people sell CDs from 5 to 10 euros.
Yeah.
And if you sell 50 CDs this hour, you're going to get 50 bucks, you know.
That's cool.
Almost like a day payment.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you get a little bit more, so you can match your, you know, your day wage. Of course, if I go to a place and there's someone waiting, playing there, I'm not gonna wait this person to play for 3 hours, because
right.
No one plays for 3 hours. We're going to be like, yo, we're going to share it. If it's only me and you... because there are hours that you can do it and hours that you cannot do it. Like, in Berlin it's illegal to play on the street.
Really?
I want to say. In Berlin it's not allowed.
Hmm.
With amplifier, with speakers.
Okay, with amplifier.
You cannot go and play illegally anywhere. So we are not protected by law, and we are breaking the law. So every musician who is playing on the street is risking. And it's risking not only getting stopped, but also getting a big fine for doing that.
How much is the fine?
depends. But I can say one of my friends, she's a Berlin-born singer-songwriter. She was playing here for more than 4 or 5 years. She got 3 fines in her lifetime. Mm. And the smallest one was around under 100 euro, and the biggest one was over 800 euro, and she got to court.
That's not good.
Yeah, so... And those fines, they you get them from Ordnungsamt, which is a specific... for people that are not from Germany, there is like a little... It's not a real police. It's like a baby police. They don't really have any... They cannot do anything. They just go
they can
and...
give you fines.
They just go and... They keep the order.
Yeah.
Let me put the fucking camera again.
They also will stop you if you're like breaking a law while riding a bike. They've jumped in front of me before.
Yeah, exactly.
On my bike.
Exactly.
I'm like, why are you jumping in front of me? And they were like, you went past the red light. I'm like...
Yes.
No, I didn't. No, I think I did.
It's insane.
Let's I still told him I didn't.
Yeah. Let's mimic a bike crash. This is for the video. Okay.
We have clapping Bulgarians on RBL Berlin. Yeah. Everybody come for the clapping.
Yeah,
Bulgarians.
We're talking about busking
Evgeny
in Berlin.
Evgeny has to make sure he claps, because I have to leave after the show, but make sure he claps during RBLWA.
Right? Shit.
You guys got to clap.
Oh, yeah, I would just want to say maybe a few
he'll,
words.
He'll know what I'm talking about, too.
So I want to say a few words about busking in Berlin also, because this is kind of a big topic. And like if you're a musician, if you're listening to this and you have a lot of questions, okay, I want to make music, I want to make money from my music, I want to go on the street, how can I do it, where I start from, what are going to be the first problems I'm going to face?
They should call you.
No.
They should send you a message.
Of course, if you want, if write me, I'm going to be as helpful as I can.
Yeah.
But also, I can...
Well, actually, I think that would be something that would be awesome if we could have a conversation, like, you know, listeners and your listeners, you know, if we would have a conversation more about
That'd
busking specifically.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you one more thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
of
I
course, whatever you like.
There's many ways that we can, you know, continue this conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're coming up on an hour. Tommaso, what kind of time we got?
You have 15 minutes.
15.
Whatever you like. Okay. I can go whatever you want.
Yeah, so 15 minutes. I think I have at least one other question for you.
Okay.
But like I said, anything that you want to talk about, can always do it in another format.
Okay.
This is not the like Voices from the Dark is not a. It's not the end of a conversation.
Yeah,
it's the
of
beginning
course.
Of a conversation. Yeah. I just made that up, by the way.
Sounds good.
anyway, so my question is: so you seem to be so from everything I've heard you speak about on the episode and also earlier before we started recording, you know, it seems like you do a lot of things on your own, and I love that because I do a lot of things on my own, and I get that, right? But and I also get that, you know, it's much more difficult to do things alone sometimes. So being a musician, you know, and you said you were in a band when you were 13, maybe you can say more about that in a minute, but like as a solo musician at the moment, like what's the difference for you? Like, would you like, what are your thoughts about like having a band, or is there a very specific reason why you don't have or will never have? Or I don't know. You know, it's like, what's your relationship to the whole band thing? You know?
Okay. Well, I started doing solo because of necessity, and I continue doing it because of practical reasons. What I mean by that is the band I had in high school, they all followed the normal trajectory. One of them studied medicine, the other studied journalism. So it gets to this point that I was O-N down there, and the other one was like hobby. And I couldn't keep with that, and I said, yo, I'm going O-N. I need to find people who are O-N with me because it's my dream. I want to go. I want to do it. And it's not my hobby. And I went like that, and I didn't have people, and you know, I just wanted to do it, so I just started doing it. And it's really interesting when you figuring out how to do it on your own. There's a lot of benefits. There's negative and good things. Should I start with the
pros and cons, basically?
Yeah,
it's up to you.
I'll say
start
something.
Start with the pros.
Yeah,
the
I'm gonna stuff. Say. Maybe I'm gonna start with the negative. Actually,
okay, go with the negative.
Okay, one of the negative things is that. You know, when you play with other people, when you work with other people, you feed from their energy. And it's if it's one thing if I really want to do something, if I really want to clean the house. But if I have my girlfriend also wanted to clean the house and my friend wanted to clean the house, we're cleaning the house much faster and with more enthusiasm. Or if it's only me wanting to clean the house. But if it's only me cleaning the house, I can start right now. I don't need to wait my girlfriend and my friend to want to clean the house with me. You know what I mean? Okay. So
I think I know what you mean. So basically it's the efficiency of getting things started.
Yeah. And like if you play with a band, you need to wait your drummer to come. You need to wait for the bass player to, you know, to get sober again. And like everyone has their own things. And
is that your former bassist? We don't have to talk about him. Obviously he's still struggling.
No, he's all right. I'm just like generalizing, just a joke. But the thing is that when you work with other
people, we have a lot of alcoholics who listen to this show, so don't make fun
of alcoholics.
Oh, it's
fine. It's okay. I'm not a bad. I'm not against alcoholism. I'm not an alcoholic, but it's fine. You know, whatever you like, do whatever you like.
Well, just alcoholism is a disease, but anyway.
Yeah. So what I wanted to say is that when you're doing it by yourself, you have full control, and you can, if you want to start working in 7:30 in the morning on your songs, you can start working on 7:30 in your songs. You don't need to wait for everyone to come back. And it's this instance that I really like, and I really like the feeling of being in control of my own destiny. Whatever. I want to be able to say, okay, I'm working now, or I have a break now. And some of the negative stuff is that, you know, you need to push it by yourself. Sometimes you don't really want to do it, but you need to find energy and do it. And, you know, if something goes wrong, there's no one to help you. You need to fix it yourself. But also, it's okay. Come join us. But also, if you're working by yourself, you have just basically the full control. And I like that. In this music world that you're trying to make money, there's another thing. If you're by yourself, in the end of the night, if you make 50 euro or 150 euro, you take 150 euro. If you have two other musicians, a drummer and bass player, and you make 150 euro, you give everyone 50, okay, and you go home with 50.
Yeah.
So if you're alone, you know, if something goes wrong, you need to fix it. There's no one to help you. There's no one going to help you carrying the stuff. But you get all the money, you get all the glory and all the shit. So
yeah, I get
it's
that.
All win.
All right, cool. So basically, if it made sense, you would have a band. But
I would like to have a band, but at the moment, right now it's out of necessity. I really want to have a band in the future, but right now there's also another thing.
I just realized we've spoken so much about your trajectory and your like sort of, because I think it's extremely interesting how organized you are and how methodical you are. However, yeah, and I can totally see that. I mean, you brought your own camera and everything.
Of course.
The thing is, though, we haven't heard any of your music.
Yeah, we are.
Do you have something? I mean, I think we have.
How much?
10 time? Minutes.
10 minutes?
I think we have 10 minutes.
Okay, I can play something later. Yeah. Do I play it now or later?
We could play it now.
Okay, yeah, let's. And then we can do a little cap in the end. Like,
yeah, we could put a
thing.
Cap in it.
Yeah, put a cap in it. So, oh, perfect.
Cool.
Perfect. Let's see if this thing works.
All any right. Technical requirements for this thing? Should he raise it?
Just plug in.
Just hit play. All right. We're going to listen to... do you want to set up the track?
I'm just going to say what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to play one of the songs I recorded this year. It's called Steel 16. Like, I try to act older, but
Steel 16.
But
okay,
in my heart,
gotcha.
I'm Steel 16.
And we can take a bathroom break.
Yeah, perfect. Smoke a cigarette.
Just checking.
All right. Let me find the shit. Is it working?
Is it working?
No, let's see. Let's try. Clipping a little bit. All right, let me fix this shit.
You have to okay, push it in really hard.
Yeah, of course. Maybe, let's see.
There we go. No.
Close? No.
In any case, maybe tell us a little bit about the song.
All right.
Still 16. It's.
It's. I just wrote it one time. I was thinking about the way I feel, and that, you know, I'm 25 years old right now, and I'm trying to act older, you know, getting my life together, but my heart, I'm still 16. I don't know, I'm just like a horny young boy.
Oh, okay.
That's
so it's a song about a horny young boy.
Exactly.
Maybe we should just link to it in the
yeah,
in the
I'll link notes, it, yeah. I'll link it, yeah.
So I guess then that would lead me to basically...
Sorry.
ask you, where could we find your work?
Yeah,
And like, if somebody who's listening wants to get in touch with you, especially, okay, you know, in terms of like,
where?
Like busking 101 or whatever.
Yeah, okay. The best thing to find me is going to be on the internet. Go to, I have a website. It's Dean's Home. D-E-A-N is home.net. Dean'sHome.net,
right.
And there you can find everything about my future shows. I'm playing in December on the big tattoo Berlin Tattoo Festival.
Oh, really?
Like the Berlin Tattoo Festival, 2nd of December. I'm gonna play there. Come and listen to me there on 2nd of December. Find me on the internet. Listen to me on Spotify, because I'm trying to make like a fucking passive income from Spotify.
Okay.
So I made €15 this year. I want to make more.
So how do we find you on Spotify?
Yeah. On Spotify, you can listen to me. Dean's Home on Spotify.
Ah, same.
Same. It's everywhere. Dean's Home. Or come to listen to me on Alexanderplatz or Warschauer Straße in the evenings.
In the evenings.
In the evenings, after 8.
After 8. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that you're very methodical. So after 8 at
Warschauer Straße.
Wow.
Between 8 and 10.
I'm not guaranteeing that I'm going to show up there around.
Yeah, if it's not super cold,
yeah,
I'll do it. If
cold.
It, yeah.
It's, so tell us more about like the seasons, because you really have seasons here.
Oh, yeah, it's the season. Like right now, in the
February
summer,
must be the worst.
Yeah, March. Like, I don't know, man. I'm preparing for the worst. Like all summer, I try to busk every sunny day to be able to save money for the winter, because you don't know what's going to happen. Every night that it's not raining, it's a play. It's a option to play.
Okay.
And it's cold in the night, you cannot play in the night. A lot of musicians leave Berlin for the night, for the winter. You cannot play in the winter.
Okay.
If it's under 0 degrees outside, it's not gonna work. There's no people to listen to you. And
as a guitarist, your hands must
This guy finds me on Spotify or whatever. It's Dean is Home.
He found
you. Oh, perfect. It's one word. Dean is Home. Like DeanIsHome. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, I think
you found me. So, anyway, the album is called Prezmai.
Well, okay. I think we have 5 minutes.
Exactly. So to play the song.
Mateus and is a mastermind.
Oh, damn. So
look at this.
All right.
Sweet.
All right, so you're going to hear one of my songs. No.
Name?
My name is Dean is Home.
No, the name of the song.
It's called Still 16. So for all the people that are over 16 but they still feel 16, they can relate. And
that's not me. I definitely don't feel 16.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I feel a lot smarter.
Oh, that's good.
Okay,
perfect.
Cool. Here it comes.
Thanks so much for listening. To act older, but my heart is still 16. Crazy, up and horny, I haven't changed much. I came here with a skateboard and the sunset I will watch. Whoa, yeah, the sunset I will watch. 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 A song about that girl that's on my mind, and never tell her that, cause I gotta keep my style. I ride up to the river and try to swim upstream. I try to act older, but my heart is still 16. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what I mean, you know what I mean. My heart is still 16. You know what I mean, you know what I mean. Yeah. I cut my hair this morning, then cycle to the park. I light my first cigarette and now I feel alright. I'm gonna read all day, black coffee is my babe. I don't have an office, the streets I will play. The streets I will play, the streets I will play. The streets I will play, the streets I will play, yeah.
I do what I want, I don't care what they say. Living in this moment, we can go anywhere. I'm a sweet Balkan boy and I'm looking for my queen.
So yeah, Dean, thank you for being here. We had to cut it off a little bit early in the middle of that track, still 16. But you know where to find Dean and his work, and I'll put it onto the show notes. So yeah, I just want to say thank you again, Dean, for being here, and maybe you can be back on the show. We can get some updates and maybe hear some more tunes, some actual like full like tunes. All right, so good night, people. 2 Feet in the Show is up next. Peace out.